morning is Luke chapter 23, and there's a little bit of a gap there between what we just saw. After Jesus left that garden, of course, we know that he went, was tried, convicted, falsely, whipped, beaten, and then nailed to the cross. But as we turn to our text, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever struggled with forgiveness? Have you ever struggled to forgive somebody? I know I have, and sometimes the irony of God strikes me. Earlier this week, I had a friend tell me some very deep things that I needed to hear, but I was very wounded. I was very hurt. I was very down for several days, and as I kept thinking about the words that they had told me, Proverbs 27:6 kept coming to mind. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. I kept thinking about that, and I kept really just ruminating on what they said to me, and their intentions were good. They had no desire to hurt me. And as I was meditating on our text this morning, and you look at what happened to Jesus. So after the video we just watched, after he got done praying, we know Judas, one of his friends, he spent 3.5 years, came and betrayed him. And the soldiers, they took him away, and they beat him, stripped him naked, put a crown of thorns on his head, mocked him, spit on him, and they nailed him to a cross. And this verse has just really hit me lately. Let's look at verse 34 of our text. It says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know about you, but I do not understand that level of forgiveness. I just thought about how different God is from us, from my own heart this week, as I struggled with unforgiveness, and I look at the forgiveness of God. You know, Matthew 27 says, gives us a hint at why did the Pharisees and Sadducees, why did they have Jesus crucified? What did he do? Matthew 27, 17 and 18 says, so when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who's called the Christ? For he knew it was only out of envy that they had delivered him up. You catch that? What did Jesus do to be crucified? The Pharisees and Sadducees were just envy. What did they envy? What was Jesus doing? He was gaining popularity. You think about it, his miracles were ramping up. He was healing the sick and the poor, and anytime he'd go somewhere, people flocked around him. They were envious of his teaching, the fact that people were coming to him. They were envious of the miracles he could do. They were so envious for the power and the prestige that they felt like Jesus was taking from them. They had him tortured and they had him killed. They had him hung on a cross. And it just strikes me that as the Roman soldiers and those Pharisees stood at the foot of his cross, as he hung there, he prayed for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I can't help but think, you know, in the text it says that a centurion standing there was said, wow, this is truly the Son of God. I wonder if he was praying for that centurion. Who knows? Maybe he's the one that drove the nails. We don't know. But what a heart of forgiveness that our God has that I do not have. It is so evident the difference that Christ makes in your life, because as I was thinking about this passage, struggling with my friend, I had a thought. The Lord put this thought in my head. I'm like, man, here's Jesus, falsely accused, beaten, shamed, spit upon, mocked, and he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. But yet he prays for their forgiveness, and I thought, I kind of scoffed myself, wow, man's pathetic. You know, we struggle to forgive when someone wounds our pride, at which point the Holy Spirit said to me, that's your problem. That's why I struggle with my friend, not because of the words they said, but because my pride was hurt. I thought I was above that. I thought I was better than what they were bringing to light. And I came to realization it was only my pride that was hurt. it was only my pride that was wounded. And I thought, wow, how different is God than us? Maybe it's just me, but how different is God that he forgives us? Such a depth of forgiveness. All those men that he prayed for and said, Lord, forgive them, they all deserved death themselves, right? Especially for falsely accusing the Savior of the world. They saw the same miracles. They saw it. They saw him cast out demons, and they're like, oh, you have to be doing that with the power of Satan, because they could not give up their positions of pride or power or their own intellect, their own what we determined this Messiah was going to be. They decided he was going to be a warrior. So Jesus didn't fit their mold. You know, that's the beauty of the gospel, is even when we deserve death and hell and we deserve punishment, Christ forgives us. That forgiveness just really hit me this morning, this week. You know, as we look at the forgiveness of God, what else does this passage tell us about God? What else do we see? Number one, I think it shows us how serious God takes sin. He takes sin way more serious than I do. I don't know about you, but he took sin so serious that he crushed his son. You know, I think Ray Vanderlaan's right. When we watched that video and that anguish that Jesus felt in the garden, that he was going to have to drink the cup of wrath of his father, we're told in the Old Testament that God crushed him and was pleased. Why was he pleased? Because he's holy. Right? He can't wink at sin. He can't just say, oh, you're humans. You struggle with some stuff. No big deal. No, he's holy. And when we sin against him, that we learn in Scripture that only blood, right? Only blood can cover that sin. And for 2,000, or maybe it was 3,000 or 4,000 years, they've been sacrificing lambs every single year. Every year they had to get a lamb. Every year they had to slaughter thousands of lambs. And Scripture tells us it's because the blood of bulls and goats can't forgive sin, right? It only covered waiting for the spotless lamb. It took a perfect man who did no wrong to take our cup of wrath. I don't know if that hits you when you see the crucifixion, you see it depicted. That was my cup. That was my destiny. That's what I deserve. You know, we live in an entitled society. That's what we deserve. We deserved being whipped and beaten and mocked and shamed and hung on a cross. That's what we deserved, because we violated a holy God. But see, once we see that, then I think you can really understand the love of God, right? The forgiveness, the mercy. That Jesus loved us so much that he took a penalty upon himself that he didn't deserve. What humbleness. And I think that shows us something else about Jesus, his level of obedience, his level of humbleness. Because he did say, Lord, take this cup from me. Text doesn't say exactly why. I've often thought, you know, God the Father could not look upon sin. And as Jesus hung on that cross, he took our sin. I think that was the first time in all of eternity there was some separation between the Father and the Son. As he took our sin, and that wrath of God, he felt the full wrath of God. And if you read the text in some of the other Gospels, we're told that the earth shook. It was dark for 3 hours in the middle of the afternoon. The wrath of God is serious. He takes sin serious. But then Jesus was obedient, and he was humble, right? He's the king of the universe. He created all those people. He deserved praise and adoration. He deserved a palace with the best and finest. But he came and he took on human flesh. He was born in a manger and he lived a humble life. I mean, look at Philippians 2:8. It said, being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You realize that the cross was a sign of humiliation. The Romans used it to deter other activity, right? Because remember, they were occupying Israel. And so to keep the morale low, to keep the people beat down so they wouldn't try to rise up, They embarrassed and humiliated people. Even Scripture said it's a curse to be hung on a tree. So Jesus was so humble that he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Complete humiliation. You know, what's that say about us? You know, when we look at this text, what's it tell us about us? The first thing that I thought, it shows how blind we are, right? Blind, how blinding sin can be. Those Pharisees stood there and watched Jesus' whole ministry. And somehow they came to conclusion that he wasn't the Messiah. How? How did they miss it? Even when John the Baptist was in prison and sent his followers to Jesus to say, "Are you the Christ?" Because they had that verse where it said Jesus came to set the captives free. So John the Baptist assumed that Jesus would get me out of prison any day now. Are you really the Christ? I'm still here. What did Jesus say? I heal the sick, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf can hear, the dead are raised. In Jesus' reality, he did come to set the captives free. What were they bound to? What were they slaves to? They weren't bound in prison. They weren't bound to Rome. They're bound to their own sin. And that's where Jesus came to set us free. But our sin as humans blinds us to the truth of who the Messiah is. They missed it because of their sin, their pride. You know, I was kind of shocked this week just to realize how deep my pride still runs. We don't even see it sometimes. I wanted to defend myself and tell the other person they were wrong. And in the end, I realized that the only thing I was defending was my own pride. So our sin can blind us. I was blind. Like I said, when the accusations came out, I was just like, in my mind, was totally dismissive. Because I was blind. Sin blinds us. And Ray Vanderlaan reminded us that we're called to be imitators of Christ. So if someone's telling me areas where I'm not imitating Christ, I should willingly receive that. I should already know that I'm not doing a very good job at it. And I should want people to inform me. Where am I falling short? Where am I struggling to represent Christ? Because he's totally different than us. He's totally different than our reaction. I would not have been hanging on the cross praying for forgiveness. I probably would have called down the 12 legions of angels. I probably would have. Because I'm human, my flesh is sinful. But that's the love of God. You know, the other thing that hit me about that cup of wrath, it's still real. The people around us are still building up that cup. There are people, our neighbors, our friends, our family, who are going to drink that cup of wrath if they do not believe in Jesus Christ. If they do not love and obey him, right? We can't love Jesus without obedience. That's the other thing God's really been putting on my heart lately is, what are we doing to obey his word? He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's another area where we let sin blind us. We want to believe that I prayed a prayer, I'm good. And I can go about my life and live however I want, and I can ignore what Jesus said. We want that. Our hearts want that. It's evil. Our hearts are evil, and they blind us. That's why we need Jesus Christ. And the thing I want to see is what compassion he has. Because, see, we as people, we lack compassion, right? In our own nature, we're driven by hate. We don't call it that because we know as good Christians we can't hate people. But that's what we're driven by. And we look at verse 35 of our text. It said, the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he's the Christ of God, his chosen one, let him save himself. Even if you're standing there and you legitimately believe this guy deserves it, would that really be your attitude if you had compassion? Would that be your attitude? You should be broken, right? But this guy was so deranged that he thought he was the Christ and had to be crucified. You should have be broken. But you can see the hate is driving them. The envy is driving them. At the point where they're mocking him. man, Jesus and God are so different than us. You know, Jesus had compassion on the very men who nailed him to the cross. He had compassion on the men who mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his head. He had compassion for them. Forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. That blows my mind. That he had that kind of love and forgiveness. My forgiveness falls way short of that. I know that. You know, we also, just to kind of back up just how innocent Christ was, you know, just how blinded the Pharisees and religious leaders were, I want to share with you John 10:32. Because there was another time where Jesus told them that I am God. He said it. And the Pharisees picked up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered them and he said, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? What he's saying is, you've been with me. You've seen my actions. They're nothing but good. I've done nothing but help people and love people and have compassion on people. Which one are you stoning me for? But their hearts were so blinded by the sin, they couldn't get over their law, their rules, their system to see what was Jesus doing that declared that he was a sinner. At one point, the Pharisees called him a sinner. You know, whenever he healed the blind man, and they brought the blind man in to interview him, and he said, who healed you? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth. And they're like, that man is a sinner. And the blind man goes, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I know I couldn't see, now I can see. So even there we see, he's like, there's good works here. Why are you immediately demanding this guy's a sinner when he healed me? But they were so envious. And so we see that blinders, they were so blind. As Jesus is performing miracles, they're accusing them of other things. So we have to be aware that our sin, even today, my sin, like I said, I was very blind to areas of my life, and someone loved me enough to point it out. And we have to be in the Word of God. We have to be open to his rebuke, because we want to be like Christ. We want to be that witness to others. What hope does this passage give us this morning? What hope have you gleaned from the verses we looked at? The hope I have is that you're never too far gone. There's no sin that separates you from God. Besides blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that's the only sin that's unforgivable. Whenever you see the miraculous work of God and you blaspheme that. Beyond that, there is no sin that's too bad. You're not too far gone. I have believed that before. I've looked at people and said, that guy is so far gone, it's hopeless. In the same point, don't you feel like you're so far gone, you're hopeless? I've done this and this. I've heard people say, I've done this and this and this. No, God could forgive me. I hope you see this morning the forgiveness of God. The men who falsely accused him had him beat, stripped, nailed to a cross. He's hanging there and he prays, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They're blind by the father of this age, right? There's a real enemy, and he blinds people to the truth of the gospel. Jesus said that Satan was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and that's what he's still doing. He wants to lie to people. He wants to lie to you this morning, tell you either, A, you don't need the forgiveness of God, or you're beyond the forgiveness of God. He's a liar. The forgiveness of God for everyone. And it's never too late, right? Look at the thief on the cross. He's hanging there condemned. But it just shows you the reputation of Christ, right? This thief on the cross knew who Jesus was, apparently knew of his works, and said, he doesn't deserve this, we do. He said, Jesus, remember me. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The guy's nailed to the cross, getting the death that he deserves for the sins that he committed, and there's still time to repent. Jesus still, so it's never too late. You're never beyond the forgiveness of God. So that's what I hope we take out of here is, hope in the greatness of the forgiveness of God. It's far beyond what I can fathom. This week just really opened my eyes to how forgiving our God is, how different he is than us, and we're never beyond that forgiveness. We're never beyond the hope of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do stand in awe of the depth of your forgiveness. But I also don't want us to miss the depth of your holiness. Lord, yes, you have a cup of wrath that we deserve, but you loved us so much, you gave your only Son. And he, for the joy set before him, endured the cross for us, to remove us from underneath this wrath. And Lord, I think if we really fathom that, help our hearts to weed out the sin so we can see clearly the depth of your forgiveness and your love, let us not take that for granted. Let us press into your word in prayer, seeking to be obedient. Lord, what a wonderful love and forgiveness you've given us. Let us turn our hearts to devotion to you. Let us appreciate all you've done for us. Let us just soak in that forgiveness this morning and respond in obedience. Help us to go out and spread this love of Christ to a lost and dying world. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the spotless Lamb. And we thank you that on the third day, you rose from the dead. You are alive right now. You are physically in heaven at the right hand of God, interceding for us. That is the good news. You are alive. You defeated death. It no longer has a hold on us. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for the power of the resurrection today.